Welcome to Pour It Out. I'm Brandy.
I'm Haley. Thanks for being with us for Double Digits.
Double Digits, episode 10.
We've really come a long way from we're going to do 6 episodes in one season to we're just going.
Yeah. And we have some really fun stuff planned for the rest of the year, too. I'm very excited about the last episodes that we have.
Yeah, Brady and I sat down about 3 weeks ago and had a planning meeting for what the rest of the year is going to look like for us. And we have got some really exciting guests lined up.
We have a good bit of guests lined up for the rest of this season. And kind of what we talked about is doing a few more episodes to kind of round out the season and then doing a kind of life update at the end and taking a little time off and then coming back with some fresh ideas.
Coming back for round 2.
Carry it on through.
Maybe our round 2 will go better than Mike Tyson's round 2 because that fight was rough.
Oof. I mean, but what did you expect?
Listen, somebody could pay me $20 million to lose and get hit a couple of times. I'd take it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd just be like, where do you want to punch me? You know?
The head. I've already been hit enough. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll get through it. The $20 million will help me. Yeah, whatever I need.
Hire a good nurse.
Well, Haley, what are we pouring it out with?
Water tonight. And allergy meds.
Cheers to the season.
Cheers. Yeah, we're finally, you know, we've been complaining this whole season about it not being cold in Florida, and it's finally here.
It dropped
about 30 degrees overnight this weekend, and I have really severe allergies, so
that's
I
how
love
this weather
it,
rolls, you know.
It.
Yeah, that's how this weather rolls. But well, we've got the season upon us for Thanksgiving. And so, Haley, what are your plans? What does the next couple weeks look like for you? I know that you pulled out some Christmas decorations recently.
I did. I've never decorated for Christmas this early in my life. I used to be a strict, like, will not decorate for Christmas until after Thanksgiving.
And here
last
you are.
Here we are. Last year, I decorated the week of Thanksgiving. But I think Black Friday. So I still waited until the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
This year, I just got in kind of a mood this week. And I was like, you know, I just kind of feel like doing it. It's just truly, it's so much work. Anybody that really decorates for Christmas, it's so much work. It's so detailed. And I love it, but what a pain in the butt to do all of that and it be up for like 3 weeks.
That's what you were saying, was that you wanted to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, because I mean, usually by the time I put Christmas away, it's like, oh, I'm not really ready to take it down.
I just did this.
I've only enjoyed it for like a few weeks. But I'm a strict, like, right after Christmas, it all has to come down. Like, my tree's not going to be up till February. Like, that's just a lot going on.
Hey, there's some people that leave their tree up year-round, and they decorate it for each, like, season or
holiday. I would not do that, but there are so many people around Tallahassee that do that with their 12-foot skeletons. And one of my friends just got one of the 12-foot skeletons.
That's getting your money's worth.
And we helped her put it up back in, like, I don't know, middle of October. And we were like, oh my, it's so much work to just put up. Like, I was like, now I kind of understand why these people just let it rip all year round.
You're
not going anywhere. You're not going, I mean, that thing's not coming down.
I'm not taking you down.
So somebody, I sent you a picture of this the other day, but somebody, and I think this is genius, somebody in Tallahassee put a Grinch mask on their 12-foot skeleton and completely converted it. Santa cap, Grinch mask, fuzzy outfit. Santa outfit and all, and turn their 12-foot skeleton into a 12-foot Grinch. And I'm really here for it.
It's very creative.
Jennings, like, you have to take Jennings to go see it.
I will. Yeah.
He would
and
love
Paul,
it.
Honestly.
Honestly, Paul would probably like it better.
Yeah.
Can Paul wear his Grinch costume and go see the 12-foot Grinch?
Yeah. And then we'd have to get a picture. Obviously. And it would be a whole thing. So yeah, we'll put that on our Christmas lights
tour. Family outing. I'm coming.
Yeah. Well, what do you have planned for Thanksgiving? And
we go to some friends' houses. Super fun. When everybody in the family can come, it's like cousins, aunts, uncles, all the things. There's probably 20 or 25 of us. And we do it outside. It's beautiful. Everybody just brings sides. It's delicious. What about you? What are y'all doing this year?
Kind of along the same lines, but a little bit smaller. We're going to be with my in-laws and their side of the family this year for the whole day and just helping out with sides. And
how do you feel about not hosting this year?
I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about it. We have a lot going on and a lot of, we're doing a lot of work up at the farm too. So we figured this year is just not conducive to host a large amount of people and maybe not stress ourselves out. So yeah, we're also hosting, we're doing our corporate Christmas party early up there. So we've got that to plan for. So we still have a full plate, just kind of distributing the plate in different areas.
So for episode 10, as we get closer to the holidays and especially Thanksgiving, Brandy and I just kind of wanted to release an episode that talks about acts of kindness. We are just so blessed, and we've been so blessed by this community that we are building. And like, this year has just been so special for us in so many ways, that we really have taken a lot of time to reflect and kind of step back and take a look at the year. And we just wanted to kind of get on here and chat about just acts of kindness in general, or things that people have done for us that really struck us, that meant something to us, and just little things that you can do along the way to just spread some kindness. Because let's be honest, like, especially whatever way you vote, this political climate that our country has been in for the last so many months, like, has just been hard for everybody. And very I know polarizing. There's very polarizing, and there's a lot of really hard feelings right now on division. Both sides, and division. And so anything that you can do to just spread a little bit of extra kindness.
Especially this time of year, you know, a lot of times as we wrap up the year, we kind of do a lot of reflection and thinking about what the previous year has held, sometimes even our previous years, the stage of life that we're in, and then what we want to do with the year that is upon us. And so this episode, we kind of have talked about for several months and just come across things that we remember as someone did something kind for us or made us smile, or, and a lot of times it's just random little small things that don't require a whole lot. Or sometimes, you know, especially this year with the natural disasters that we've had, kind of brainstorming ways that we can give back or we can get involved. And it's just thinking about how do we best sprinkle those little acts of kindness or something that will bring a smile to someone's face and make their day.
Yeah, whether, kind of just being a little bit more hyper aware of your surroundings and just learning to recognize needs that you can help fill without it necessarily being brought to your attention.
Yeah. And whether that be a random stranger or our loved ones that we choose to focus on, this time of year is such a time for reflection and gratitude. And then I think we've also just are stepping back to see how we can pay it forward.
We kind of decided the best way to handle this is we would break it down into sections. And so give ideas for each little section and different scenarios in life that you may come across, and maybe some ideas of things that you could do or things that people have done for us in these certain scenarios that really stuck out to us, that meant something to us. So we'll kick it off with just broad and general ways to give back.
Yeah. And some of the obvious would be volunteering, volunteering your time. And me and Haley really talked about this a lot, as far as there's so many ways to volunteer, so many great avenues to do that through. And so really it's about picking your passion and what is really on your heart, maybe at that time of your life, or maybe that season, or if you want to do it in memory of someone.
And I would say on this front, as somebody that managed a national nonprofit for a really long time, the thing that I guess I like allowed myself to have a level of guilt about is that I felt bad asking somebody to donate their time or their resources to my cause. And what I would tell people is that just because it means something to me doesn't mean that it means something to somebody else. And so to like piggyback off of what you just said, like, pick something that matters to you.
Yes.
Like, nobody's ever going to tell you that volunteering for a specific cause is bad.
Right.
So pick something that means something to you. Like, just because cardiology meant something to me, like, doesn't mean that cancer or, you know, another nonprofit, like, doesn't mean something to somebody else. And everybody's story matters.
Yeah.
And their reasoning for volunteering looks different across every avenue. So, pick your passion. And
you want those people that have experience and hold that close to their heart too, because I think that that matters too, and how they are volunteering.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really, I mean, it makes your volunteer time that much more impactful and a lot more meaningful if you pick a cause that means something to you.
So with your background, what have you learned as far as different ways that you can volunteer?
You really need to know your strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of times with the nonprofit that I managed that there was a lot of manual labor.
Mm-hmm.
involved with it. And I had a lot of like retired women that wanted to volunteer. I'm not going to ask a group of retired women to unload an 18-foot U-Haul.
Right.
But I can ask you to stuff some envelopes mm-hmm. for me. Or I can, you know, ask you, hey, like I'm about to throw this gala and I need some help decorating.
Right.
I think it's really important to utilize people's strengths. And, you know, recognize that like, okay, if you are a charity this time of year that needs, because I think that that's the thing to think about too, is that different charities have different needs different times a year. So maybe around the holidays, pick a charity like a food bank or right. a church yes. that's serving for an underserved group of people.
Because your family around Thanksgiving over the years has volunteered.
Yeah. Yeah. So
around this time,
there is a family that Brandy and I grew up with that we were pretty close with. Growing up, and his dad was a pastor in an underserved community around Tallahassee, and their church really focused on recovering addicts and some very poor areas of that particular community. And so they would quite literally at Thanksgiving get school buses and go around and collect people in the community that didn't have means to get there or didn't have food or, you know, had a large family and financially couldn't afford to feed their family for the holidays. And they would bring all of them to this church, and they needed volunteers at Thanksgiving to serve these people. And that's what we did for 2 or 3 years. And it was just so humbling to sit there and be like, oh, these people have nothing. And there's a really big need. So I would say if you're looking to volunteer around the holidays, pick something that maybe is going to make you reflect on some things and maybe be a little bit more grateful for the things that you do have.
Yeah. I can say just going on several, my heart has always been with overseas missions. And so I've done several mission trips and then also served in my local community just through different ventures. And it's really about finding what you're passionate about. I think as a new mom, the Women's Pregnancy Center was really laid on my heart. And so for my son's first birthday, instead of gifts, because to be honest, he doesn't need a lot of gifts. And so we did like a diaper donation, and it was just so neat to be able to bring him and make those donations to people that actually do need it. And so it's all about finding, there's just so many avenues.
You and I have also done is Operation Christmas Child.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And me and Paul, when we first got married, that was our date night. We would go and pick out stuff for the boxes. And then last year we brought Jennings, and I did that as a little kid. So it's just cool to sometimes carry on generationally too. And make it a family tradition, especially around this time of year. Yeah, and
that's something that's fun for kids too. Like to your point, Jennings is going to get to the point where he can start picking stuff out. And I know several other people that do that for like with their kids. And one of the things that my mom would make me do around this time of year is she would make me go through, and to your point, like kids have a lot of toys and a lot of things that like they've outgrown or don't need. And before the holidays, before I got a lot of new gifts for Christmas, she would make me go through and pick what I wanted to donate for the year.
Yeah.
And then have me take it. And she was like, you have to realize like a lot of kids they're about to not get Christmas.
Yeah.
So go pick a bunch of toys that you don't use anymore. And we're about to go donate them so that another kid can have Christmas.
Right. Well, in this time of year too, there's a lot of donations coming in, I think, because you're prepping for the holidays, you're prepping for the new year, there's a lot of incoming gifts, you're decorating for Christmas and kind of pulling out some old stuff. So I think also too, picking somewhere where you know it will be utilized is key, whether that's donating old clothes. I know that in lieu of the hurricanes and flooding, A lot of people have been looking for like winter clothes donations. And there's so many places. You just have to look. You have to be aware and cognizant and know, hey, instead of just dropping this off at the easiest, most convenient location for me, I'm going to take the time to sort through what I have.
I would say especially this year too, with Western North Carolina getting hit as hard as they did, like you and I both have done a lot of digging and read that some of the biggest concerns are the colder months coming up because these people, they have nothing.
Yeah.
And it's about to get and slash already is starting to get really cold up there and they have been left with nothing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe this year, if you have jackets and coats and like warmer clothes that, you know, you've outgrown or your kids have outgrown that you're looking to donate, like maybe consider finding a charity that's going to send it up there.
Yeah. And then also too, I saw this and I thought this was such a great idea was to donate old towels and blankets to an animal shelter because
I love that.
And it's something that honestly never crossed my mind. But I was like, how many towels are old, ratty, like you're getting rid of blankets? Like this has been used. This is dirty, almost too dirty to like, I'm not going to give this to a charity or something. But I mean, how many dogs are in shelters and cats that need that? So. And then also, too, I think another good one is to donate blood, especially around the time of a disaster. I know that they're always asking for it. I personally never donated blood up until a few years ago, and it was so neat. I had never, like, been a part of that experience, and it was really awesome. Also, too, if you own a business, you can also – the One Blood drive that they do,
they'll
you can get the
you.
Bus – to be there. And that's like actually where I went to a local business that was like advertising it. So I think that's a great way to
such a good way. So let's talk about the next one. I feel like this kind of segues into that is acts of kindness for complete strangers. And I feel like a lot of what we just talked about can be applicable to both. Like it's broad and general giving back, but a lot of times those are people that you don't know, but it still makes a really large impact.
And we were talking about kind of brainstorming these ideas. We were talking about things that random strangers have done for us and how that either put a smile on our face or just turned our day around. It was like a game changer if we were having a rough week. And sometimes just honestly restores your faith in humanity. You know, you can be really struggling and we were talking about how you never know what someone else is going through.
Something that I really try to keep in the back of my mind all the time is like, if you're having a bad day, somebody else is having an equally bad day or a worse day, and just trying to display kindness everywhere and like being kind to like the people you get your coffee from and the people at the bank. Because I mean, you snapping on somebody once could make or break what they're going through.
Yeah. And I think some of these are on, you know, some of these involve monetary giving ideas, but a lot of these are just, it doesn't require anything except just being a little aware, a little cognizant and being like, I'm going to.
I can tell you one of the things, and this has stood out to me for years that meant so much to me. I was trying to get into the Starbucks line and this guy didn't see me and came around the corner and completely cut me off with his car. And I was mad about it. He knew he did it.
Us and our road rage, like just not a good combo.
Doesn't help with our road rage. But he knew that he did it and felt so bad about it that when I pulled up to get my coffee, they were like, hey, he took care of it.
Aw.
And I was like, oh, that was so nice. And I was just like, I'm not even mad anymore. Like, it was so nice and so kind. And I have, like, never forgotten that.
Yeah.
And it struck me so much. And so that is something that I want to start trying to do is, like, maybe once a quarter, like, paying for the person behind me. Because I just remember what a difference. And it did. It, like, restored my faith in humanity. I was like, oh, he cut me off. And that was a crappy thing to do. But, like, he felt really bad about it. And he really is a nice person. And I just, like, I don't know, like
that chain of paying for the person behind you is when you come in contact with it. I think it resonates so much with you. A few years ago, I was in a Starbucks line and it was around Christmas. And I got up to the front and the lady was like almost in tears. And she was like, this has been going on for 2 hours. of everyone just continually paying for the person behind them. And I was like, that is so cool. I mean, I'd hate to be the person that broke the chain because you know what it is.
Yeah, you don't
want
to be that person. Yeah.
But I was like, that is just so cool because sometimes, I mean, you never really know what you're going to get. Like, you could get a car full of people that like really comes out to something more than my $5 coffee.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was so neat that it carried on for that long. And she was emotional about it. And I was like, yeah, I mean,
that small can really truly just make such a big difference.
Yeah. Something else that someone that has a little kids, it's something so simple, but I've had it happen to me like once or twice and it just made my day. When you are grocery shopping with your children and there's a lot of moving parts, especially when you're unloading your car and trying to get them back in. And somebody to take your cart for you, like that's walking up, it makes such a big difference to that mom. You have no idea. And I just think that that's something that really just requires you noticing and being aware of and being like, let me just take that for you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to use one anyway.
One of the biggest things for me in a grocery store is, all right, I'm a tiny human. I'm 4'11". Like, I can't even reach things in my own house, like much less sometimes like stuff at the grocery store. And I've been like struggling to reach stuff before. And somebody has come up behind me and be like, hey, let me grab that for you.
Oh, that's nice.
And that is just like, oh my
Thank
God.
You.
I literally don't know what I would have done if I just would have walked
Otherwise,
away.
I'm going to have to call somebody.
Yeah.
I also think too, just giving the compliment. This is something that I really struggle with because I'm not very outspoken, but every time that it happens to me, it instantly brings a smile to my face. Whether that's, I like your hair or I like your outfit. I like your sweater. Just anything, like anytime a random stranger says that.
Just the fact that somebody took enough time to just even if it's a 10 second interaction, just to like think enough to like stop what they're doing and acknowledge you is
And a lot
special.
Of times too, I think that this has a lot to do with age, but a lot of times it's elderly people that give you compliments. And I just think that it's because they're more aware, they have more time, they know that that is going to make a difference in somebody and they take the time to do it versus just rushing through and focusing on what you got to do and then getting out. So I think that is something that I'm adding to my list to just be more aware of.
Yeah.
And because that's free, that requires almost no effort. And it most of the time makes their day, you know, tell a tired mom that they're doing great because probably in that moment they think they're failing. You know?
One of the things that I try to be really cognizant of doing too is customer service is such a hard job. And like, honestly, a lot of people suck and they encounter a lot of really mean people.
Yeah.
And if you have a great waiter or like I had this girl at Starbucks the other day that was just the kindest, nicest.
Like noticeably.
Nice. And I just took time and just stood there and talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that either spending the time to actually engage with them and like have a true human conversation with them and or calling your manager over and just being like, hey, I just want you to know like you've got some really great staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just giving them an accolade to somebody that like it matters to them.
Yeah.
I've tried to be a lot more cognizant about doing.
Well, because people say too, like, especially if you have a great waiter or something like, oh, just leave them a good tip. And that is, I'm sure, very appreciative. But I think also it goes a long way when you invite those kind words along with it.
Yeah. Especially in this economy too, like this inflation economy that we live in, like a lot of people are having to work two jobs right now.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of wait staff that you see that like,
can you imagine how tired they are?
They're exhausted.
Yeah. And people are just, it's rare now to be kind.
Yes.
And I think that really is what we're really focused on is a lot of it just requires awareness and that people are just, it humanizes you, you know? I think also to the customer service on when you have to make a phone call and you're talking to someone, that immediately I have to take a deep breath because I know there's going to be complications and there's going to be, you know.
Right. Like if you're calling customer service on the phone, like there's probably
you're
something
already frustrated.
Wrong. You're already stressed out.
And I have to remind myself, they get those calls all day long. So I think one, being kind, but also if you experience somebody that just goes above and beyond, like take the time to leave them that little review, yes, or, you know, do that little survey at, yep, the end or something, because you never know that that could really make a difference in their career, in their job.
So what about acts of kindness for people that you interact with, but wouldn't necessarily consider a part of your inner circle?
Okay. So these are people like teachers, coaches, if you have kids, coworkers,
UPS drivers,
UPS drivers. I think that something that an easy way to give back for teachers or coaches that they actually want or need, and this doesn't have to necessarily coincide with the holidays, is a lot of teachers will post their Amazon wish list at the beginning of the school year. And I have tried really hard to do as many as I can, because a lot of that stuff, and it doesn't have to be, again, you don't have to go spend $20. You can spend $5 to send them a pack of pens or markers or tissue boxes, yeah, and or whatever.
You really don't realize until you get a little bit older that these teachers pay for everything themselves.
Yeah.
And I just,
every year.
That's, yeah. And I just cannot imagine year after year how daunting that must be, and what a financial burden that must be every year to get your classroom ready, to spend most of your year teaching somebody else's kids.
Yeah. And I think something great too, if you don't remember it, you know, at the beginning of the year, I think reaching out over Christmas break or something, and because a lot of that stuff runs out,
they run
too.
Out, yeah.
So they need.
Oh, that's such a great point. You know, like a little halfway check-in and just be, yeah, like, hey, are you, is there anything that you're out of that I could, yeah, maybe help you replenish? Yeah. We're so thankful for you.
That would be so simple and so easy to do,
yeah,
you know, and very cost. I mean, you would spend like $10, but I think even just taking either teachers that you previously had or your kids' teachers, or if you have a friend that's a teacher, I mean, they are working very hard.
Something also that I've seen some people do is for on the teacher front is like their favorite coffee or something. Like, okay, when the day after Halloween falls on a school day, get your kids' teacher some of their favorite coffee, a full moon, like something where, you know, like, oh man, like that was a rough night for us, but our kids are super like hyped up on sugar, or it's been a wild day, but I'm about to go send my kid off to their teacher.
It's
about to be even wilder for them. And they've got like 20 of them, their favorite coffee or like a gift card or like Chick-fil-A breakfast or something. Like I've seen some parents
goes
do that. And I was
way.
Like, that goes a long way.
Yeah. Something that's like tangible and that they, I mean, that's what they enjoy like right then.
And it's just, it shows that you recognize like, oh man, this is about to be a rough day for you.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you.
Yeah. Again, I think it humanizes people.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes when we're just going through life and we're so caught up in ourselves and how tired we are and how run down and how busy and how much we have to do, it sometimes turning yourself inside out and being like, pretty much everybody is busy or tired or exhausted or has something on their plate that you may not even know about. And some people, it's a lot bigger than we even can fathom.
One of my favorite things that you did was after you had Jennings, the nurse's gifts that you and Paul gave.
Oh yeah. So again, something tangible, something they could enjoy. We did Lucky Goat coffee cold brew and just brought a bunch of gallons because I was like, I know these nurses are working, you know, long shifts and not sleeping great and probably have a huge to-do list when they get off. And I think to caretakers for either like assisted living homes or things like that. When my grandmother was in an assisted living memory care facility, one year for Thanksgiving, actually, we all, the family like put together and did like little care packages for them. And that made their week.
Yeah.
I mean, because nobody thinks about them.
Nobody thinks about them. One, I was actually just telling somebody this today. One of my favorite things that my neighborhood actually does is on Halloween. So in the neighborhood that I live in is very communal. And at the entrance of the neighborhood, we have an assisted living home. And they host a trunk or treat every year because all of these, the elderly residents, like a lot of times, like don't see families and they want to see the kids. And so it's become a huge thing in the neighborhood that they do this huge trunk or treat and all of the parents with their young kids, like take their kids up there to go visit the elderly residents. And it just absolutely makes their night.
I bet. Yeah. And that just, you don't realize how lonely they are too. And I think especially this time of year, sometimes like their families don't live here or it can be a really difficult time of year for some people too. And I think that's something that we have to keep in the back of our mind is that amid all the holiday festivities and joy, sometimes there are some people that it's very difficult for.
The holidays are a really difficult time of year for a lot of people. And I think, you know, that Brandy, that's something that you and I have talked about a lot recently.
Yeah.
It's just, and that kind of goes back to like recognizing that not everybody's in a great place.
Yeah. It's not just about you.
Yeah. Yeah. The world and like your purpose here is just a lot bigger than whatever you have going on.
This one I have, so I haven't done this before, but it is on my list to do this year because I've had some friends do it and I just think it's such a great idea, is that your UPS, FedEx driver, your mailman, your garbage man, to set out, you know, a few weeks before, or sometimes you could do it on like Black Friday, the week after Black Friday or something, you know, when you know, like I know when I'm getting a lot of packages because I just ordered a whole bunch of stuff and I know that they're working extra hard and they're working long hours and it's a very busy time of year for them. And so something to give back that's easy is just get a little like drink and snack cart and put a little sign up that says like, help yourself, like, thank you for all you do. And they love it. And I was like, that requires so little effort and probably makes their day that they don't get a lot of recognition.
Yeah. And like, honestly, especially parents with kids, like those snacks and drinks are probably stuff you already have at your house.
Yeah. And Jennings could come see the garbage man.
Oh, he would love that.
Driver and greet them. So I think that was one that I have some friends that do it. And I was just like, that is such a good idea.
Yeah. No, that's great. The other one that we talked about, and I have tried to be throughout this year, like as we've more so gotten our social media platforms up and running, like I have really realized what a big one this is. And I've tried to be a lot more conscious about doing it. And it's spreading online encouragement, because online negativity and online bullying has become
so prevalent. Yeah.
And to reverse it and just like be uplifting about other people's ventures.
Yeah.
And I like, that's not really something I ever thought about, not in sort of any capacity until we branched off and did it ourselves. Yeah. And like the amount of support that we've received has been so touching to us that now I try to go out of my way.
Right.
Online to support other people that are doing
whatever they're doing
in whatever capacity they're doing it, but just to like it or share it or follow their page or send them a little message and be like, hey, you're doing great.
All that stuff spreads encouragement and it makes them, it gives them a boost, you know, because it is a little scary venturing out and doing something new.
Really putting yourself out there.
Putting yourself out there and you don't know how it's going to be received. So, and I know, we know that everybody that we receive support from, we notice.
Yeah.
So I think turning that around and being like, well, they're going to notice too when we give that back to them, because I know what it means to me.
Yeah.
And I think especially now with this online social media presence, that it's something that's easy, you know, to support local businesses, leave a good review, you know, whatever capacity that looks like. It takes 2 seconds and really makes so a difference. Much.
And we are just in such a climate right now that social media just matters so much.
Yeah.
Like it or not, it just does.
That's what
it matters. It matters for your business. It matters for a lot of people's livelihoods. And just taking a second, to your point, to leave a review or sharing a positive experience, like, can attract so many customers for so many people. And it really does just, you don't recognize the power of a few kind words until you're on the receiving end of it. And we are thankful.
Very, very much resonates with us and something that we're going to try to bring forward.
Yeah. So let's talk about, so we just talked about acts of kindness for people that maybe aren't in your circle. So let's talk about acts of kindness for people that are in your immediate circle. What are some of your favorite things that you like to do for your people?
Okay, so this one I've kind of been thinking about either stuff that has been done for me or that I have tried to do for other people. One of the things, so I don't have a ton of time on my hands, so I have to be a little creative in this, but I think something that's super easy is either Venmoing a coffee on me or a drink on me. If you know that a friend has had a hard day, starting a new job, you know, something going on in their life that's difficult, or they had a rough doctor's appointment, just something, because that, again, it takes 2 seconds and is under $10. So to me, that's like a no-brainer of, and it'll bring a smile to their face.
I've done that a few times. And the other thing that I try to do it for is if I'm missing a trip of somebody really important to me, like if I can't make it on your birthday trip, or I, you know, it's your birthday and I haven't seen you, or I'm missing some event in your life, I'll Venmo and be like, here's a drink. Like, I'm really sorry I couldn't be there. Here's a drink on me.
Great idea.
Or something.
Yeah. And again, like when it's being done for you, you notice it and it makes you smile and you're like, oh, that's so thoughtful.
Well, and it makes your friends feel like you're a part of it, even if you physically can't be there. Mm-hmm. Like, you matter enough to you for you to be like, hey, I wish I was there. Here's something on me.
Yep. I think so. I have a friend that does this that I really want to start getting better at. Almost nobody does like snail mail anymore. And mail is just, we talked about this last episode. I do not like mail. I don't like getting mail. Like, don't like sorting through it. So when you get something that I call like fun mail, like Christmas card mail is always so much love fun Christmas for me. Cards. So I have this friend and she does handwritten notes like once or twice a year, just randomly like thinking of that. You, like cute card. And you just feel so special. You're like, oh, they took the time out of their day to put a stamp on.
Just a little bit more intentional than a text.
Yeah. Yeah. And because I try, that was my other thing, was text that you're thinking about them.
Yeah.
I think also too, something that I've tried really hard to incorporate, we have had several losses, like close losses in the past couple of years. Yeah. And I want to remember that for my friends. So I set a reminder in my phone that pops up every year so that I don't forget. And I still even, there are ones that I'm like still learning about that I didn't have in my phone that I'm like going back through and adding, because it does help. It pops up every year in the morning. It's as a little reminder. And then I can text that person like, hey, I know that this will be a difficult day for you. Just want to let you know I'm thinking about you. And that, as the years go on, and people forget about that, I think that that can sit really heavily with somebody.
It can. You know? I do that for a few friends of mine. I've got a couple of anniversaries saved in my phone because, I mean, you're right. Like, it doesn't stick with you because it didn't happen to you directly, but it sticks with that person.
Yeah.
And just a quick little text to say, like, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you.
You're on my mind today.
I recognize that this day's hard for you. Like,
yeah. That can make a world of difference.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to prioritize, and life is just, it's so busy. I'm not just going to remember that off the top of my head for years and years on end. So I think setting that reminder, and when you set the reminder, just set it on annual.
Yep.
There is a setting that you can do that, and then you always get it. But that has been one of the biggest ways to stay connected to people in my circle.
For the most part, this is like really both of our love language. Taking food to people.
Yes,
like care, that's like packages. About the most Southern thing you can do is cook a meal for somebody. And that's how we were both raised, and just show up with food.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, my mom still does it. I'm sure your mom still does it for people that have had surgery or that are going through a difficult time, grief, loss.
Meal trains are one of my favorite things that like have come around. I mean, meal trains have always been a thing, but like virtual meal trains where you can send a text and sign up a group of people. I just think that goes such a long way and helps with the coordination a lot.
I think there's also, so over the past several years, I've really tried to focus on providing care packages for different people.
Yeah.
I have been through some health things in the past couple of years that required a lot, and people showed up for me in really big ways. And so I think paying that forward, and know if I know of someone that's walking a similar path, I really try to first of all, keep things that I know that I utilized on hand so I can put it together relatively quickly. Like I have a really good book that I read. I have some like medical things. I have some just like fun self-care things that I think are helpful. And so I try to keep those things on hand to just put together and drop off at their house or mail if I know that they're experiencing something like that.
Which, and guys, we're not talking like super elaborate care packages. Brandy and I both try to, the dollar bin at Target,
I was about to say, yes,
is a great place for it. Little travel face masks, yep, or, you know, just little things that you can pick up along the way that we really just keep stocked at our houses.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, hey, that would make something really cute to put in a, yeah, care package. Or, you know, I've got a friend that I know in a few months is going to be going through something. I think that she would really like this. Just keep little stuff at your house. And then all of a sudden you just look one day and you've got enough stuff in a drawer to put a care package together.
Keep little baskets like from the dollar store, or if you find them on sale somewhere, like stock up, and then keep a bin full of just like random things that you've collected. Again, like Target dollar spot is great.
So great.
I also love if I find something at like a farmer's market or a local business that's like those little small things that you see up at the front that you're like, oh, that's really cool, or that's really neat. Then it's kind of a twofold because you're also supporting local and small. And I think that that is something that really goes a long way and puts the thought, you're putting thought process behind it, that I think, I know that it touched me. So I know that it is making someone else's struggles a little easier.
And something that you and I both have gotten really good about doing is potted plants versus flowers.
Okay. I love this idea because, so I had something that, like an accomplishment that I had a few years ago, and Haley brought me a potted plant for like the showing, and that plant lasted me for like a year.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, I was able to put it in my house and display it. Like, I love fresh flowers. I think they're beautiful, but I think stopping by Trader Joe's and picking up a pot, honestly, it's sometimes a lot cheaper too.
It's cheaper. And I also, the thing that I love about gifting a potted plant is that it's something, yeah, it lasted you a year, and just, it just brings a little bit of a smile. Like every time, yeah, you look at it, it's like, I had this accomplishment, and like that, yeah, made me feel really good about myself. So I also think it's like a quick little like happy memory.
Yeah.
So if you're like having a bad day and you see the plant, you're like, oh, I've accomplished something great this year.
That you're like carrying on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also too, sometimes focusing on, if you know that there's a lot of people that are going to be supporting this one person. Like if somebody has had like a significant tragic loss, thinking outside the box instead of just, I'll just drop some food by, because I have been in those places where it's been, you know, 24 hours since someone passed, yeah, and their house is slam full of food. So I think also trying to think outside the box. A few years ago, I had a friend pass, and I was trying to look for ways to best support their family. And in that care package, I put together things like shampoo and conditioner and body wash and toothpaste and all those like personal hygiene items that I was like, that way they have them. Yeah. They don't have to worry about them. And it's probably something that at some point in time they're going to need.
Something that they're going to run out of eventually, that they
don't have the capacity necessarily to go get. So I think too, thinking outside the box, being a little creative, I think it can also, those things really go a long ways. Anything goes a long way in those situations, but kind of trying to think about things that maybe other people aren't.
I think one of the biggest ones for me that has made like the biggest difference in my life is celebrating the small wins. Because, yeah, I think this may resonate for some other people, but being a single person, you don't always feel like your wins are as big as other people's, because like, mm, you haven't had a wedding and you haven't had a baby, and there are a lot of things in life that are such a big deal for so many people, but you haven't experienced them. So you feel a little not as important or not as validated.
Yeah.
And I think that having friends that still support you and uplift you and recognize that, like, just because you haven't done maybe necessarily what society tells you you should have done, that, like, you're still doing something with your life. And, like, having friends, we've had so many friends reach out about this podcast and just say, like, hey, y'all are doing great. And yeah, we listen. And, like, it just celebrating little victories for people, even it just, it goes such a long way.
Yeah, it really does. I think that recognizing too, and calling out whenever one of your friends is doing something, accomplishing something, work, you know that they've worked hard towards it, whether that be little or big, just validating them and acknowledging it and bringing attention to it, I think makes them feel like accomplished, but also too that people recognize that accomplishment. And that's something that's just so big in today's world of just rush, 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 go, go, go all the time.
That's all I had on my list. Do you have anything else?
I think that kind of wraps it up. Hopefully we gave you guys some good ideas maybe with this upcoming season and then just into the next year to sprinkle a little bit of kindness in your everyday life.
Just remember to be good humans.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys.
Yes.
And we will be back in a few weeks.
Thank you for pouring it out with us.